pray for the Holy Father, creator of all things, to be with us in this room, to guide us, to know our minds and to know our thoughts, so that we may open up to His will and to only His will, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we believe and have faith in. Then let whatever transpires here in this room, as we listen and observe, let it be Your will, Father, and that so we may have a greater understanding of what You will permit us to understand, and what You will permit us to view and know, and what You permit us to know that we may use with wisdom and application, whether it be to ourselves or others. So then whatever transpires here, we hope and pray that it is in Your hands. Certainly not our will, but Your will be done. As we wait with patience now, Jane here?
Yes.
Is Jane with us speaking?
Yes.
Is there anything that you would like to share with us before I may say a prayer, or would you like me to say a prayer?
That would please me.
All right. Now I'll say this then. To know and hope that my faith is that nothing will separate me from the love of Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Son of God. Whether it be principalities, powers, whether it be angels and armies, whether it be death, that nothing will separate me from that love of Jesus Christ and God. And in hopes that you too would have that same prayer in your heart and in your soul, Jane. Do you have that prayer in your heart and soul also?
I do.
I would like to perhaps begin with a statement and then a question. I have the Holy Bible in front of me, and there are some things that still puzzle me, and with a lack of understanding on my part of simply being a human being.
I do not know if I can answer your questions concerning the Bible, for I was never a Bible student.
But perhaps your counselors can, and if they are truly representatives of the Holy Spirit and God, then I believe they would know more than even the written word that we have here, since it would come from the source, and they certainly would know. They certainly should know.
Ask your question.
Yes. Statement is this. In St. John, said, truly, these are Christ's words, said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has everlasting life, and he does not come before the judgment, but he passes from death to life. That is a statement. Now the question is this. You have mentioned many times that it is what we think and what we feel and what we do as to where we go. And yet, I also...
As to where we go.
To the areas.
In the beginning, this is true, yes. Okay.
And yet, the Lord said, I can do nothing of myself, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And that question would be then, if we all do that which is his will, then doesn't it behoove us to submit ourselves to him totally and completely without question, without doubt, rather than to take it upon ourselves to think that we know best what is good for us?
I believe, now I'm not certain what you are referring to. It is true, as I have told you, that what we expect, our expectations at the beginning, are in large measure what we receive until we have learned to respond to those who will counsel us. As we discuss those who are sleeping, for example, I also told you that they eventually may be awakened. I'm not certain I understand what it is you want.
Well, what I would like to know is, not from my point of view, but from your point of view and from the council, is that as I read and as I look, that the faith in what happens to us comes in our faith in the Lord for him to direct us rather than we direct ourselves. And unless I'm misinterpreting what has been said.
We do not direct ourselves, but we may... Recognition is a better word. It would be recognition of the nature of our Father. He is our Creator, and has different aspects. One aspect is the one who became Jesus the Christ on earth. He is an aspect of the Father. And that is why we call him the Son. But he is also principle and will respond principle. That is unchanging and unlimited, but is responsive and will respond to us in direct relation to our recognition of that principle, or law, you might say law, but principle is perhaps a better term. It is recognition and not our will. However, our desire for ourselves is a different thing.
Okay.
Is that answering your question?
Somewhat, yes. Let me phrase it in another way. Again, it's another part of the scriptures where Christ, the Son of God, the Christ, had said, no man can receive anything of his own will, except it be given from heaven. Sometime I may have either misinterpreted, but what I have been hearing is that we can choose as to the way we go. And here the Lord said, no man can achieve anything of his own will, except it be given from heaven. So there is a contradictory...
No, it is not. You mean in the areas in which we go? Is that what you mean?
In any sense, it says no man can achieve anything of his own will, except that it be given from heaven.
That would be the response to our recognition, again, would be the gift. If we choose not to recognize the Father at all, there will be no response, except in this one area He will support our life, regardless.
Let me respond to that too. There's another question that comes up as you responded to that. It also says that this everlasting fire, and it says here also that forgiveness of all sins except the sin against the Holy Spirit, and that is not forgiven but will receive everlasting judgment and fire. Now that is the scripture in which the Christ has spoken.
I do not believe that they meant true fire, because fire is a physical substance. I believe that is a symbol.
That was my next interpretation. What do you feel, and your counsel feels, that he meant by saying fire?
What I have said, fire is to do with the physical, and of course there is no physical substance. There is spiritual substance.
Is there a spiritual fire, an everlasting spiritual fire?
It is not fire as you know fire. I think perhaps it was meant to symbolize the pain which will be experienced by those who have no recognition and who have not reached out and asked for help.
So then what I hear you saying, then, that the fire is the pain?
Fire would be a symbol, it would be a good symbol of pain to those who have flesh, and it would be readily understood.
Okay, the question I have here, when it says everlasting, it has nothing to do with the flesh, therefore, it has to do within the spirit, and everlasting naturally means forever. If it says everlasting fire, it means something more than just simple physical pain.
I do not speak of physical pain, pain of the spirit.
Is that pain very similar to what we'd experience in the body?
It is much worse.
Much worse. All right. Then, have you experienced that spiritual pain at any time?
I am not certain if what I have experienced is what is exactly meant by that passage.
Okay.
It is doubtful. There are those who have lived on earth that have done terrible deeds, and I know are experiencing greater pain than I ever did in this life.
I have only about two more questions. Is this too a hardship for you to answer this question?
No, it is not at all.
I don't want to cause any hardship or any disturbances in your own
You soul. May not. No. You do not realize that as yet, but you may not.
Well, I'm afraid I don't want to challenge you in any way. The other question is this. It has mentioned also the adversary and his angels. Christ had made a distinct statement, the adversary and his angels. Then, in your concept or your belief or your knowledge, then does Satan exist, the adversary?
This is something I wish to speak to you of. But first let me say this. We have discussed angels previously and what they are. And I recall this story that is in the Bible, of the fall of the angels. That is true. That truly did happen. And it is that they chose separation, you see.
Yes, I remember that.
And are still maintaining that choice, you see. These are the ones that would be, you would say, the devils, because as beings with much power as angels have. They retained that power, that they were allowed that. However, they do exist only in on a spiritual level, and those who are on earth whom we consider evil are truly human beings who perhaps through influence of these, perhaps through their own choices, or some of both, are also choosing separation. These are not devils as such. What I wish to say to you, and I do hope you understand, I am not contradicting myself.
We'll try to understand.
But keep in mind what I have just said and what I will just say in a moment, and they are not a contradiction. But it is well to remember that there is only the Father, and all else is lie.
Is lie?
Is lie. And those who would separate themselves from him are believing the lie.
And what is the lie?
That there is something else. There is only the Father. Now I must explain to you what I mean, because I know my...
Before you explain, Jane, it's Dr. Bauman, let me just sit with that. That is very, very, very meaningful to me. Everything you said today is very, very... Let me just sit in silence with you for a few minutes while I don't want to lose that concept of oneness and manyness and truth and falsity. It's a condensation of all that is. Oneness and manyness, truth and falsity, and union and division. And let me be with that experience for a moment. No matter where these ideas, the source of them coming from, I'm beginning to comprehend and what is being spoken here. Go ahead now, honey. Let me listen to what you're saying.
May I finish my thought?
Yes, and I want to continue too, because I'm not completed with my
understanding. No, I'm not interrupting here, but this is very profound.
I wish to recall to you is our conversation that we had upon a healthy body. Do you recall?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we discussed the creation of a mental image which will encourage the health within the body.
Yes.
All right. That is a law that occurs in accordance with a law of the Father or principle that the power of our thought, that our mental image will create and encourage this health within the body.
Okay.
I'm
opening my throat. Oh. Excuse me for a moment.
I want to make my meaning clear to you, and I am proceeding slowly so that I may be certain that you do not misunderstand me. When we give credence to those known as the devil, and I know that is in the Bible, what I mean to say is, if we offer them recognition in the same way that we offer recognition to the Father, we increase their substance and their power. If we deny them that, we decrease, we disintegrate their power within us. Do you understand?
Yes.
When I say there is nothing else but the Father, that is what I mean to imply. It is best that we deny their existence. They have no power over us if for us they do not exist.
But isn't there a danger to then, and Satan does exist, and they do exist, and they could subvert us to believing
it? If you believe that, it will be so.
No, well, let me read this, what the Lord said again.
All right.
Why therefore do you not understand my word? Because you cannot obey my word. You are from the father of accusations, and you want to do the lusts of your father. He who is a murderer of men from the very beginning, and who never stands by the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks his own lie, because he is a liar and the father of lies. That means that there is something... And
because he is a lie. Did you hear what he said?
Yes, because he is a liar. A liar.
Yes.
And he said he is the father of lies, which is to say then there is such an existence that does exist, and he is warning us to be very careful of that particular force who is a lie and a liar.
It is a, all right, it is a force, as I have said, there is a force from those who had separated from the Father before man was ever upon the earth. But what I mean to say to you is, if we give substance to that...
You mean by believing the lie? Is that what you're saying?
No.
We have to give substance to what Christ had said. Christ was tempted in a desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
If you dwell upon that substance, it becomes more substance.
No, I understand what you're saying. But I'm also saying...
I do not believe you do.
No, but I'm saying this. I have to believe the Lord. When he was tempted in a desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he was not tempted by something that did not exist. He was tempted by Satan, by a liar, and by the author of lies. And I think we need to understand that this does exist without giving credence to it.
Perhaps you, if you believe it exists for you, you must not have fear of this.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid of it. But, Jane, let me say this again, because maybe I'm not making myself clear. I'm saying that as the Lord walked the earth, and he himself, the Son of God, was tempted by Satan, who promised him all the world, who promised to put him on a steeple, who promised him to, if he jumped off the steeple, God would save him. He tempted him. I don't believe God tempted his own son. I think something that did exist his own son. So then we can't deny the existence of such a force and such an entity, because this would be contradictory to Christ, where he himself was tempted by that force.
Consider that what was done to the Christ would be done to you. It is not the same. He was treated in such a manner because of who he was and because his recognition of the Father was perfect.
That's true.
This is how he was able to achieve all of his miracles, because he knew the principle and understood it completely.
Well, let me just say,
what I mean to say to you and to anyone, I wish her to understand this too. It is not a contradiction what I am saying.
Oh, I don't believe it's a contradiction.
It is true that there is a force, and the force stems from the source that I have said.
Okay.
These are the original separators.
They do exist, then.
They exist, however, you must not give credence to them and their existence. To do so is to make them stronger.
Then why did they...
There are those who... Now, listen for a moment, please.
Yes.
There are those who, through their fear of being tempted, increase the risk of temptation. In the same way that you create a healthy body, you may create an unhealthy body. You understand what I am saying?
Yes, but don't we need to recognize that the germ exists, that the poisons do exist in order not to eat
thereof? If you dwell upon that ill health, you will have the ill health. What I am saying is, do not create images of the tempters.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If we give substance to them, we increase their substance.
But Jane, let me ask...
It's difficult to explain.
Yeah, but let me ask you this then. Let me follow this up further. I have one more question and then I'll relinquish to Dr. Bauman. How would you know the difference of what is truth and a lie unless you had the comparison? So therefore, the author of the lie must exist. Not that I give him... Not that I will believe his lies, but as the Lord said here, that to these people, or whoever the entities are, you are from the father of accusations, and you want to do the lusts of your fathers, and he who is a murderer of men from the very beginning, and who never stands by the truth, because there is no truth in him, which means there is such an existence. When he speaks his own lie, and because he is a liar and the father of lies. So I cannot deny Christ and to say that what Christ was saying was wrong.
Do you know the power of your words?
These are not my words, Jane. These are the Lord's words.
You are repeating them. Do you understand that the spoken word has much power and that you have created by repeating whether they were original thoughts of yours or not?
No, these are the Lord's. These are from the
that
Bible.
That is true. However, you have spoken them, and the images that have been created both in your minds and in anyone who has heard you will increase their substance.
Then why did the Lord speak it? I don't think he spoke it to increase their substance.
He did not. He may have spoken it, but not written that in that book.
I'm reading it right from the book, right from St. John.
You do not understand as yet what I am saying, and I am...
No, because I cannot accept anything contrary to Christ.
It is not.
Why would you say
it? What would happen? I must go back to our original discussion, because I believe you understood me at that time. What would happen if in the process of imaging for yourself a healthy body, you also imaged ill health at the same time? What would happen?
Confusion,
and what would happen?
Tell me.
The one would negate the other, and there would be no response.
Let me say this.
What I am simply meaning to say to you is that no one should dwell, who does not wish to separate, should dwell upon this negativity, because it will create within them undesirable.
But Jane, don't you feel that we need to recognize of its existence? We need to know that it does exist, otherwise we begin to believe a lie. If we cannot separate the difference between a lie and the truth?
I do not know how to make this plain.
Well, I think we have to have a contrast. I believe in the Lord.
The contrast is there. It is there, but we do not need to dwell upon it.
But we need to recognize it does exist and not to succumb to those lies and to those erroneous beliefs. As if they don't exist, because they do
exist. If they do not exist, we would not succumb to them. Do you understand what I am saying? You cannot give credence to what does not exist. Deny its existence, and it will not harm you.
Oh, but that the Christ himself testified.
What I am saying is, when you give much substance to these powers, you increase their powers.
Well, I don't give them any substance. I just simply know
I
that
do
it
not
exists.
Speak of just you. I speak of all. It has increased their power. It increases their power in the same way as those who have deliberately set out to increase their power by such dwellings upon them.
What you're saying, then, I should say, Satan, get thee behind me.
Exactly.
And no, I do this, but what I'm trying to point out here, that sometimes there can be erosion of one's faith by not recognizing the author of these lies, and to be able to recognize and then discern that difference. Anyway, I don't want to pursue this any further. I have made my statement and my question. have one more question and then I'll go.
I feel badly that I have not explained, and I do know that you do not see my point.
Jane, you have done a wonderful job of explaining. However, I must accept the words written in the Bible and contradiction to anything else. I would refuse.
Well, there is no contradiction. I said it will seem that way, but it is only that you do not understand what I mean.
Perhaps not.
I cannot think of another way.
Wait, one more question, Jim, please, and then I'm going to relinquish. Otherwise, I'm going to lose a continuity. I have one more question which has bothered me so much. In Revelations, it says the resurrection of the body and resurrection. Is the resurrection of the body, or is it a spiritual resurrection? Let me read a little bit of the Bible. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever obeys my word shall never see death." How does this relate, which some people believe in a bodily resurrection, meaning the flesh and the blood and will come out of the graves, and yet here it says we'll never see death? Could you give me some insight on that, and I'll accept what you're saying.
I am certain that what is meant is that we do not die, that we continue. That is true.
Is there a resurrection of the body and of the flesh?
There has not been. I do not know if that is yet to come. I certainly hope not, as I have none left.
Well, Jane, I hope I haven't disturbed you by being firm in my beliefs.
My only distress is that I have not explained this. We have discussed this, my counselors, and
Let me say one more statement, and then I promise I will say no more. Throughout Christ's teachings, he said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." So then we must be able to discern the difference between what is a lie and what is a truth, what is the genuine and the artificial article. I think without knowing that, how can we truly choose and to know?
You may have that recognition without dwelling upon it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not dwelling upon it. Let me relinquish now to...
That is not what I meant. I mean, you may have that recognition of what is not good fruit without concentrating upon
the
bad.
Without eating it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I get your point.
Jane, you know, it's interesting that the oneness that we have, and yet at this level where we are, the ease of disruption or separation that occurs because of lack of total comprehension and the way we trip over our own words. I would like to make you feel welcome and would like to have you have the opportunity to express yourself and to explain to us, realizing that we are still in flesh, to where there's cuts in our skin and separation physically between us and a great deal of possibility of additional separation. And with that in mind, I'd like to encourage you in your strength to be welcome here and to express yourself fully. Both sides of this issue are profound. What you said is that all other than truth of oneness, in other words, the opposite of oneness is manyness, and the opposite of truth in oneness is falsity. That out of a splitting, separateness has occurred, and in that separateness, there is some untruth, because all is one. I can play with that and play with it the rest of my life in attempting to comprehend that. And I want to continue, have you continue at that point. Where we become concerned, housed in physician and therapist, if a lady has a lump in her breast and we fail to recognize that is separate and possibly cancer that could erode within her system, if we turn our head the other way and say, "It is not truly there, I will give no credence to it," we lose the physical life of that person because of our search in that
attempt, in some cases, to separate destruction from life. And in trying to comprehend that area, it's what Mr. Prokop, housed in that of a therapist, trying to recognize disease states from certain invading bacteria or to cancer within a system. Really what he is saying, if I close my eyes to the already present disease, then I'm not doing my person an injustice. At the same token, I've heard him teach many, many times, if you say to a person, try not to think of chocolate cake, try not to think of four white candles, you immediately plant and give a reality to existence that may not formerly have been there. And so both of you are absolutely correct, and both of you know it, that you're correct from the point of view in which you're expressing it. Credence is given to things are made more real by the focusing on them. But help us understand our jobs as physicians in searching out the appendix that must be removed, that searching out the cancer. Because so many people use what we would call denial. I deny it there and I won't pay attention to it, and so an erosive cancer continues on in the process. So let me just, you are not at discord, and please have the strength of discord, because out of the strength of discord, out of the clash of the positive of the negative, light occurs. Even when we smash an electron with a small positron, the most negative of particles and the most positive together, a small photon of light is given out. And so even smashing positive together at times, if we look for truth in that, rather than who wins the argument, if we look for the enlightenment we gain from this, then the process of some degree of conflict may be of value in life. And let me listen to you rather than to talk myself at this point, though, and because it's fascinating for me to hear these ideas that emerge, and ideas are the things that give us broader concepts. Would you be with us again, please?
Ideas, yes. I do not believe that we do disagree. I do not know if he realizes that.
I do.
Perhaps as you think upon what has been said, you will understand. It is true, yes, particularly upon the physical, in physical areas, that you, it is your trade, your profession to seek out what is not right with anybody, and you may not deny that it exists. However, what does happen to that person if they dwell only upon that illness?
Yes. There is no disagreement between us.
I do not believe that there is.
No, there isn't. My question was mainly is to deny the observation of something that actually exists and to say it doesn't exist when it really does.
What I mean to say is you must focus upon the Father rather than to put your...
I agree 100%, Jane.
In that way, then there will be no problem. You see, if you do not allow opportunity for that negative to intrude, it will not. If your attention, imagination, all of your powers that you as an individual have, all the powers of spirit, will focus upon the Father, there is no room for intrusion by the negative. As we discussed, negative is the absence of the positive. If you utilize the positive, the negative will not exist at that moment. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is that same principle of which I spoke. It is a law.
There's some things you have to share, and if not, I'll have some questions a little bit later on. But
yes, you do have questions. Yeah. I wondered why you did not express them.
Well, I haven't had the time yet.
Well, so we kind of take turns, you know. I have my say, and
Yes, I would like to say something perhaps for you to think upon. In the Bible it uses the term the Word, and I wondered if you had thought upon what that truly means. Perhaps we can discuss that for a moment.
Yes, please.
If you think, I speak of an ordinary word at the moment. What is it exactly? What does that mean to you?
Is that a question?
Yes.
Do you want me to answer?
Either one.
The word to me in a physical sense means that something goes from non-movement to movement. In other words, if I say I thirst, there was nothing in movement in the air molecule, and all of a sudden there became a type of movement to occur. And when you think of the word in the Bible that there was quietness, and out of that there was given the word of movement, stir began to occur, such as the breeze is to the air, as you mentioned before. And in that movement, there's take shape and form of content. The process, the event is the word spoken. What the word expresses in its various vibrations, what it means to the creature that receives. Go ahead, let me not ramble
okay,
on.
Well, let me give you my opinion of word and then I'll listen to you.
Yes.
To me, word means two things to me. Word means a symbol that creates some form of a communication, even though words are very poor methods of communication. The other thing is the Word of God does not mean a single word, but the Word of God is His principle. So there's two forms I see it. One is a principle, which is the Word of God, which is all His principle and His laws put together as His Word. And then the other word is, as I'm speaking now, even if I say word, it's a symbol meaning something that may mean different to one and different to another.
Yes, words, that is true. Words are symbols. If the word is spoken, there is also sound. If it is not spoken, it is still expressed because it has begun as a thought. What directs the word? What is it that directs the word?
The speaker?
Yes, what directs the speaker? What is
the
motivation?
The spirit, of course.
The spirit, it is intelligence, is it not?
Yes, hopefully it's intelligence.
Yes.
And hopefully it's wisdom. Yes, it is.
So
it comes from a source.
It is directed by
intelligence.
And so it is, a word is either spoken or expressed in some fashion and is directed by intelligence. And this is truly what thought is. It is principle, as you said, it is the manner in which all was created, and it is the manner in which we may impress upon our Father what we desire and hope that His response will be to us.
Let me change my recording.